It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
The Untold Story with Martha McCallum. Exclusive interviews with top newsmakers who share their inspiring stories of perseverance, positivity, and more. Now, here's Martha McCallum.
Today, most Democrats argued that the coming threats to the inaugural, which we've heard so much about, and we see the National Guard sleeping in the Capitol, they say it demands swift action to remove the president. They fear that the incensed rioters saw January 6th as just the beginning of the, quote, storm that they have been promising. So politically, the ball is now in Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's court. We begin, though, with Republican Congresswoman Kat Kamick from Florida, who voted against the impeachment. Congresswoman, good to have you here. Obviously, there is blame for the division in this country and the animus that we see all around. And I think that a lot of people feel that the president deserves his fair share of blame for stoking those fires over the course of what we saw on January 6th. Where do you stand tonight when you look back at what happened today?
Well, thank you for having me on, Martha. And absolutely, I mean, you're right. Hearing that introduction, my blood pressure was starting to climb because, quite frankly, it's that kind of hypocrisy that has led me to be involved and find myself here in the United States Capitol as a member because of that blatant hypocrisy of leaders here in Washington, D.C. But I have to remind myself that as I'm listening to that, just an hour ago, I was standing in Statuary Hall with 50 National Guardsmen and women, giving them a private tour of the Capitol as they're stuck here, really defending our nation's Capitol. And I have to take a step back and remind myself that at this moment in time, only calmer heads will prevail. If we are to survive as a constitutional republic, we have to stop this blame game. We have to stop pointing fingers. We have to stop the hypocrisy. And we really have to focus on the things that the American people and our constituents back home in the district sent us to Washington to do. We have got to get our economy back on track, recover from COVID. Hundreds of thousands of businesses have gone under. We have real work to do, and there is nothing about today that was productive. There was nothing in the way of healing. There was nothing unifying about it. It's upsetting, of course, but we have to be bigger and we have to be better than what has happened here in the last 10 days. My first 10 days in Congress, to be exact.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to Washington.
Appreciate it.
You know, a lot of people were unhappy, some Republicans, with Liz Cheney. Other people supported her very strongly and felt that the president was really at fault. Even Kevin McCarthy said the president shares blame, is to blame for what happened on January 6th. Do you agree with him?
You know, I think that, and I've been getting that question all day long, really what we need to be doing is putting the blame squarely on the people that stormed the Capitol. I was on the House floor. I was 20 feet away from where they were starting to breach the doors. As the wife of a first responder and a SWAT medic who happened to be on the Capitol complex and feeling helpless as his wife was on the House floor with God knows what happening around her. I mean, this is just crazy that we're still here 10 days into the 117th Congress pointing fingers at each other. Look, our party, we're hurting right now. We're hurting as Americans. But we have a party, the Republican Party, that is big enough to celebrate and respect a diversity of opinions. We're not always going to get it right, but we have to take accountability for what has happened here last Wednesday, and we're going to do just that, starting with the investigation, holding those criminals accountable. What happened was in complete defiance to the platform that we all stand on, law and order, respect for the rule of law, our Constitution. We need to get back to that. And once we do that, we're actually going to be able to heal and get to work on the things that everyone has been craving us to do.
What did you think of the president's address? Some have said it's too little, too late.
Well, you know, I thought the president was very clear. I only caught a little bit of it in the introduction and some news clips. But I thought the president was crystal clear. He supports rule of law. He condemns the violence that occurred here on Wednesday. He does not support anyone that is wishing to do harm. The First Amendment guarantees our peaceful assembly. We need to protect that. to my dying breath, I will protect anyone's right to free speech and peaceful assembly, whether they support or are against what I am standing for. That is a constitutional cornerstone that we all, regardless of Republican or Democrat, have to fight for. And so I think the president was very clear. I'm very glad that he came out with that message.
Do you think that if he had made that address on January 6th, or if he had said that, those words at that rally, look, all of you out there, I know you're all amped up. I know that you want to overturn this election, but you cannot do anything violent in my name. Don't you think that this might have turned out very differently? There are five people who lost their lives on January 6th.
Yeah, and today I actually walked right past where that young woman was shot and killed. And it is going to be a jarring memory that I'm going to have to deal with every single day as I go to cast my ballot on behalf of the 3rd District of Florida. But listen, it's easy for all of us to Monday morning quarterback this situation. I wish that the president would have said something earlier. But the people that were storming the Capitol, they came prepared. They had a plan. They were intent on causing chaos and destruction no matter what. And that's the thing that we need to do is hold these people accountable. I will not stand here and be a hypocrite and say I condemned what happens at the Capitol, but not what happened last summer. Of course not. Violence has no place in our society, in our rule of law, in our politics, in our daily discourse. We have to condemn violence, and that goes for the Democrats on the other side. They need to be paying attention to the cities that have been burned to the ground, looted, and just had chaos for months. Where were they? We have got to start holding each other accountable and really fighting back on this hypocrisy that has been running rampant for years here in Washington, D.C.
Kat, thank you very much. Kat Kamick, Congresswoman, thank you for being here. Appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Martha.
The Untold Story continues right after this.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Here now, Katie McFarlane, former Deputy National Security Advisor for the Trump administration, and Geraldo Rivera, Fox News correspondent at large. Great to have both of you here tonight. Geraldo, let me start with you. You have tweeted up a storm on what we saw play out today. So big picture, you say that you believe the president needed to be impeached today. Why?
I do, Martha, because not only did he incite this riot, not only did he unleash those people on the Capitol, not only did he have near certain knowledge that disruption would follow his remarks and those of Don Jr. and Rudy Giuliani, but bigger than that, for the last 2 months, there has been this big lie. I have preached against it every time I was on TV, that there was no legal, no constitutional, no judicial manner, no way, no legislative manner in which this election could have been overthrown. When the president and I spoke a week after the election on Friday, the 13th of November, that was the tone and tenor of our conversation. He said he was a realist. He said he would do the right thing when the time came. I thought that he would concede this. Obviously, he was not going to get the election reversed. But indeed, what happened instead was he dug in and broadcast over and over again this big lie, this propaganda that turned these folks into rabid soldiers to protect the presidency on the false notion that he had somehow been cheated. And I think that what happened here is he needed to be this grand jury today, this impeachment, unlike last year, this time was righteous, it was appropriate, and he deserved really to have Congress let him know that what he did was beyond the pale, Martha.
KT?
I couldn't disagree more. I think the biggest problem in America today isn't the fact that Donald Trump behaved abominably after the election. It isn't the fact that Joe Biden is going to be president. I think he's going to be a terrible president for foreign policy and national security. The biggest problem is that half the country hates the other half of the country. And there are only two people who can fix that right now. And one is Donald Trump, who needs to go to his people, including myself. I've been his earliest and strongest supporter. He needs to tell his people my presidency is over, but I plan to stay in the arena and help a new generation of leaders and carry forward my foreign policy, my national security policy. But Joe Biden needs to go to the other half of the country. He needs to go to his people, Martha, and he needs to say, you have to stand down. No impeachment, no cancel culture, stop the blacklist, stop the hate mongering.
But he didn't do that. I mean, what does it already tell us that he didn't do that? He could have seized this moment. And, you know, I mean, I would also ask you the same question about President Trump. Why didn't he do what you're describing? Because he frittered away the last couple of months chasing after this fantasy that Geraldo describes that was lost in the courts, really, before the election ever happened. You know, these guys, neither one of them has done what you just described, KT.
No, neither one of them does. And there's only a very narrow window of opportunity to do it. And if neither one of them does it, if Donald Trump doesn't do it, if Joe Biden doesn't do it, here's what happens to America. We continue to be a divided nation. Joe Biden's presidency is over before it's begun. Donald Trump's legacy is the last couple of weeks. It's not the 4 years that he had great successes in foreign policy. But the real price, whether, you know, if you want revenge and an eye for an eye, where does it leave the country blind?
That's where
Martha, there is nobody in this country who has more of a gripe. I lost my career. I lost my reputation. I've lost our life savings defending myself against the Mueller investigation for a crime I never committed. But I'm saying it's time for both sides to step down and step back for the sake of the nation. Otherwise, we are headed to complete dysfunction and chaos for years on end.
Thank you. Thank you both. We got to leave it there. KT and Geraldo, thank you for being here.
You've been listening to The Untold Story. I'm Martha McCallum. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Make sure to rate and review. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcasts.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.